I am Plant on the Line. This is the commentary.ca. Christopher Bennett is the current leader of the BC Green Party. In April of this year, he was selected the party's interim leader with Adrian Carr's departure for federal politics. Mr. Bennett is a political communications and strategy expert. He joins me to talk about his tenure as party leader as they prepare to select his successor in October. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Christopher Bennett. Good morning, Mr. Bennett.
Joseph, thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate that.
Thanks for joining us. You are the writer of a blog, are you?
Yes, I am. I'm the writer of my blog.
Yeah. Now, what's the address in case people want to hit that up?
It's victoriabound.blogspot.com. Victoria Bound, of course, suggesting our party's ultimate ambition, which is to make it all the way to the Victoria Legislature.
Does that mean, does that include yourself?
Well, I've been asked that by a couple people. I haven't decided yet. I haven't made that announcement formally. I'll probably release my decision, what's next for me, on October 21st when the convention concludes. I've got my head wrapped around so many other priorities right now. I haven't really wanted to invest too much time into what I'm doing next.
Your time as Green Leader has been eventful. How would you describe the experience?
Yeah, that's one way to describe it. It's been a lot of fun, Joseph. We're doing some extraordinary things in the party. I think that I have been outspoken in a lot of things that aren't just green, which was important to me. And I know when the party approached me back in March of this year, you know, that's the kind of thing they were looking for. We were trying to really make sure that we put ourselves on the map in the build-up to the convention this October. If you look at our party, historically, we've never been able to generate the kind of media attention and hype that the other two parties have been able to do. And I think we're changing people's minds around things like that.
One of the goals in the interregnum between Ms. Carr and your successor was to continue building the organization, building the party, as well as increasing memberships. How have you done on those two fronts?
Well, I think we've done very well. Certainly I can speak to the internal development and try to take a bit of credit for some of that, more so than the memberships. Of course, when you're in the middle of a leadership contest and you've got five candidates, which is a record for us, you know, they're certainly out there pounding the pavement, so to speak, trying to bring in new sign-ups. So I would say that in large part, the credit is really to them, although I know that a lot of people have reached out and said, you know, I didn't think that the Greens were this kind of party, and I've been excited by it. And so, you know, I like to think that I've helped define a green spectrum, so to speak, and show that there are different kinds of Greens, but we all are Greens. And that's been very important to me, because I think there has been a perception in the past about the kind of people that are interested in our party, and perhaps they're just activists. And I don't think that's necessarily just the case.
And this direction to making the party a little more inclusive, is that reflected in all the five candidates that are running?
I think it is. I think they're, you know, without sounding cliche or, you know, like I'm pandering to the question, they really do. You know, we've got an entrepreneur, we've got, you know, a political organizer, we've got a marine biologist, we've got an elected councilwoman in Jane Stirk, we really do have the full range. So I'm very pleased with what they represent for us. I hope that that will lead to not a divisive party, but rather a sort of unified spectrum that we're going to see on October 21st moving into the pre-election mode.
Something that's come up in recent weeks, and the Union of British Columbia Municipalities are meeting this week as we speak.
Tomorrow, yeah.
In Vancouver. I know that you pushed very hard to have your party represented there. How have you done on that score?
Well, I guess the real answer to that, Joseph, becomes tomorrow morning. You know, ask me at 9:21 a.m. when after they vote. I think we've done a good job of stating our case. We've established that there really was a precedent for this that was really defined. It was an old play from the NDP playbook that we stole it from. It was Joy McPhail years ago moved a motion from the floor to try to be recognized, and whereas there is a precedent set by the UBCM to recognize a party that does not have four seats in the legislature, which we do not either, I'm optimistic. I hear from a lot of different sources that the NDP are working hard in the background to block it. I think they would hate to have another option on ballot day in a two-party province, and that's understandable. But I hope that in this situation, the UBCM delegates won't vote politically, and they'll vote for, A, the precedent, and B, you know, for democracy, BC is better served with three parties, I think, than just two. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Whether or not the Green Party speaks
you want to tell them, you know, primarily, we're the kind of party you can trust in opposition. One of the things we're very interested in is more power to municipal governments. We would really like to see municipalities, you know, having more control over what's happening and the types of spending within their communities, and taking ownership of some of the green initiatives that sometimes the funding isn't made available through the current government. So, you know, we're very much in favor of smaller local governments. Of course, we want to show them that there is an urgent need right now for green thinking in the legislature and green opposition. You know, I think some of my comments about the premier have been misconstrued, and some have even suggested that I support his environmental record, and that's not necessarily the case. I think that there is a lot of stuff not being done, and there's a critical point for us that we need to get into this legislature to ensure that these things start to happen before it's too late.
You are the leader at the moment of the number three political party in this province. Let's talk about the state of the province. Now, it's still very much a polarized province. You mentioned that earlier. It's a two-party province, essentially. How do we get away from that, and how do you make the Green Party relevant?
Well, the Green Party is relevant. What's important is making sure that we communicate that, and that we give voice and we give reach to that idea to the electorate, you know, on the days building up to the actual election. We've been relevant. You know, the moment you have 1% of public support, you become relevant, because, you know, we live in a country that also values the opinion of the minority, and our minority is swelling right now. We're at record numbers in the polls. So I think what we need to do is, and what I've been trying to do, is speak about things beyond just the environment. We can't lose track of our focus on that and why that's, you know, a pillar for our party. But at the same token, there's lots that needs to be said about education and healthcare and small business economics and, you know, the whole portfolio of items that I've been working with different cabinet ministers to talk about and try to push where we can. And I want British Columbians to see that, too. I want them to understand that, essentially, we're more than just a one-issue party, despite the name, the Green Party.
Well, what is your assessment of Gordon Campbell's record on the environment?
I'm glad you asked me that, and I want to be very careful and clear how I answer that. In an article not long ago, I used sort of a metaphor. If I had to give him an academic assessment, you know, in terms of his greenhouse gas emissions reduction targets, I said I'd give him an A for the vision. I thought the targets for the particular item were solid, but an F for execution. And I don't think this premier, you know, he's talking green, which I really like, and he certainly is getting the media attention for it after Governor Schwarzenegger's vision for being green. And I think he wants to be green, but a lot of the things he's doing outside of that green portfolio just don't add up to the reality, which is, you know, this government's failing to execute on a lot of it, and we're running out of time. I don't think people realize that, you know, every year that goes by, we lose an opportunity, an important one, to fix this problem and correct the course. So I would really like him to take it more seriously, and I want people to get away from the notion that saving the environment and saving this planet doesn't have to come at the cost of the economy. That's an incorrect assumption, and we're going to be working very hard to demonstrate that. So I think he's, put it this way, I'd like to work with him, and I think he definitely would like to work with us and our party, and I think you're definitely going to see a lot more action if we were in opposition than if the NDP were.
Now, you've met with the premier on numerous occasions, have you?
No, the premier and I have met once before, and it's not like we have these cozy fireside chats that some of the media have suggested. I've met with a number of the cabinet ministers, of course, and we've talked about a variety of different portfolios, and I've always said that I've been very grateful for their time and working with us, certainly when we don't have seats in the legislature and when we don't have the kind of influence or power that the opposition NDP provide. You know, when they take the time to sit down with us and work with us on an agenda and try to reach some understanding on stuff, that's valuable, and I think that's important, and I think that shows the maturity of our party in preparation for being the next opposition government.
A cynic might say, Christopher, perhaps if you have had constructive meetings with cabinet ministers, perhaps it's best that you work with the premier, not from within the Green Party, but within the Liberal Party.
Sure, well, I'm not a Liberal, so I guess, you know, I don't disagree with that concept or that notion, but ultimately, you know, I think our platform better serves British Columbia. And we're still developing and writing new items, and our policy convention will reveal a whole new host of agenda items. But ultimately, I think that, of course, we have to have an opposition. We have to, at some point, long-term goal would be to prepare ourselves to be a government in waiting. But not to get ahead of ourselves, it's important first to define ourselves as an opposition in waiting, and that's what we're trying to do with working with Cabinet.
And how has the NDP failed in that regard?
I think the NDP's biggest problem is they have a lot of they present a lot of problems, and they don't present the government or British Columbians with a lot of solutions. They're very quick to point out scandal and what they consider to be ethical, you know, mistakes by this government. And it's a lot of rhetoric, and it's just a lot of angry talk, and it's, I think it's a lot of useless press releases. And what I would really love for them to see is to put themselves in front of an issue or define themselves based on where they're going. Or rather, if I was an NDP supporter, that's what I'd want. I don't think that there is, I think there's confusion in their leadership. I think that they've got to really ask themselves if Carol James is the one that they want to go into the next election with. I know that there's several candidates, I'm sure, that are sharpening their knives, as it were, getting ready to line up. So I think the NDP is going to have a very interesting convention, and it's about 2 weeks after ours. I'll be very interested to see what comes of that.
Why do you think it is, though, that the NDP have been so reticent to work with the Green Party, though perhaps some may say you share a great deal of the same interests, namely getting rid of this government?
Yeah, I think that too. And, you know, I reached out to them at the beginning of my term, and I really did want to connect with, you know, in equal parts to the opposition critics that present and represent those portfolios. And they just were not interested in speaking to me. They didn't want to talk to the party. And, I mean, the obvious answer to that, Joseph, is they recognize that we are a potential opposition in waiting. And British Columbia has their mind on green right now, and we represent that. I think we have more of the pulse of a minority of British Columbians, if you buy into the polling numbers, than the NDP do. And of course, you know, any moment that they connect with us or they team up with us, or if Carol James supports me for UBCM, they give credence to us. And of course, they don't want to do that. It's classic backroom politics. It's strategy. And I'm not surprised by it. I take it as a compliment more than anything. If they are worried about fighting us on their left and the NDP or the Liberal government on their right, I think it's time for us to move in there and start showing BC how to do it.
You're not much older than I am.
How old do you think I am?
Well, my research, you're just under 30. Is that correct?
Correct.
I'm mid-20s.
You are correct.
I am mid-20s. So it's a myth. Is it a myth that young people aren't involved in politics?
Yeah, of course it is. It's definitely a myth. I think it is. We don't see them at the highest levels of politics. That takes time and experience. I've been involved in politics since I was about 14 years old. I ran my first campaign in grade 9, and so it's not, for me, it's been a lifetime. I know that sounds funny coming from a guy my age, but it feels like that. So, I think young people are ultimately what's going to save politics, because we've got to change directions in terms of how we present to the electorate, because people are just bored and they're tired and they're fed up with the same old stuff.
And what was it about politics that attracted you to it? At such an early age as well?
I think, my father was very political growing up. My father had a penchant for political history, and he was very interested when he was a young man, he did a lot of political writing, and I think I caught the bug from him early on, and the characters that make up leadership, which, you know, my dad groomed me from at a very young age, and he created a fascination with, you know, those in power and how to understand those things, so I think it probably came from there. And I think it has seeded itself, and it's been made permanent in the fact that I would like to make a difference. I would like to make a contribution. I know that sounds hokey, but I genuinely would like to do that. There's not a lot of jobs where you can get up every day, and at the end of your day, you've really made a difference. You put an idea out there that people are talking about. They love it or they hate it, but they're talking about it, and ultimately that can lead to action, whether it's in the legislature, whether that is in our, you know, our community debates, or if it's just an idea that's first and introduced and people start to, it catches on, right? I love that about politics.
Who are some of the political people that you admired growing up?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked me that. No one ever asks me that. I love Jack Kennedy. He is a hero of mine. I've been a bit of a Kennedy scholar since I was younger. I really enjoyed a lot of his speeches. I enjoyed a lot of the work he did in Congress and in the Senate. I definitely think a guy like Richard Nixon was very misunderstood. I, think he did a lot for the environment, probably more than most historians care to acknowledge, but I think he was a very interesting political figure. In terms of Canadian ones, my favorite, of course, is Jean Chrétien. He was a great prime minister. I always admired him and was really proud of my time working with the Liberal Party when he was the prime minister. I was definitely a big fan of his.
How involved is the BC Green Party with the federal Green Party? Is there a connection?
Yeah, well, on paper, no. We're separate entities. But certainly there is a big brother, big sister kind of relationship that comes down to us. We are close to them. We share a lot of the same policy ideas and platform positions. There's an extraordinary amount of cooperation between the two branches that you don't see in other parties, which I'm very pleased with. I think it's been essential, and they've really been a lifeline for us at times when financially we weren't as big as the other parties here provincially. So it is a good relationship, and I think very highly of Elizabeth May.
And you participated in her campaign, correct?
Yeah, I did. I worked in her communications for her election campaign. I was very proud to have served her there.
And what is as a political junkie, how does it look federally for the Green Party? Do you think it can be relevant in the next election?
100%. I'll tell you exactly how it works. If she gets into the televised debates, they'll win a seat, maybe two, possibly even three. I think if Canada is introduced to Elizabeth May beyond just the newspapers and they meet her on television, they're going to fall in love with her. They're going to like the fact that she's a real straight shooter. She's not like the rest of them that way, and she really will do a great job on TV. That's really where the fight for us is going to begin and end, because if we don't make a breakthrough for the televised debates, once again, I think we'll be capped at that percentage just below that breakthrough line where Canadians go, I want to vote Green, but, you know, I don't want Harper to get back in, or I don't want to see Dion as the next prime minister. And that's what I lose sleep over, and I think that's really where the networks have got to do the responsible thing, and they've got to let democracy have a voice, and they got to get her on those.
Well, what advice would you give your successor as leader of the BC Green Party going into the 2009 election?
I don't think I would do that. I don't think I'd give them any. I'll be available, but Adrienne Carr was a really classy leader, and she did not impart advice on me. She let me make my own mistakes and try to seek my own successes, even in a short interim period like mine, and I was grateful for that. She leaves very big shoes to fill. And I think that's going to be tough. I know I've been very outspoken and polarizing to some people, so I think I leave equal parts, you know, big shoes to fill and easy shoes to fill for the next leader. I think they're going to have to really define themselves, you know, aware towards how they think I took the party. I hope I've pushed in the right direction that I think it's going to need to make a breakthrough in BC. I really feel in my experience I know what it's going to take to do it, and I've tried to speak that way, but I guess we'll know in, what is it, 594 days.
What happens to Christopher Bennett after the 21st of October?
That's a really good question. I don't know. I've been entertaining some offers from different companies and different groups politically as well, in terms of, you know, wanting people wanting me to consult for their campaigns or things like that. But you know, I might just stay entrenched. I think I'd like to get a feel for how the membership receives me when I leave. I think it's really up to the next leader of the party if they'd like me to stay on and support them somehow.
You cut out in your answer there. I would ask again, did you find working in the back as you have as in communications and in strategy different than being in front, being the leader of a party, being a candidate perhaps?
Oh, yeah. It was...
Do you enjoy one or the other?
Well, I think I'm really good at the stuff that happens in the background, and I've built a career out of doing that. But I think being at the front, you have to prepare your family for some of the things that I did not do properly. I think, sorry, I'm cutting out there. My wife probably has, well, she hasn't enjoyed some of the negative criticism. There's been lots of that, and, you know, you rarely get the praise in public. You often get the criticism, but that's part of the job. I haven't minded that. But I think what's really tough about when you put yourself on the front like that is sometimes you have to make those really unpopular choices, or you got to take a position that you know that the membership or your party doesn't necessarily lean towards, even though you're convinced and you know in your heart that it's the right way for them to go. And it's just trying to find that strength every day to make sure that you do that and you're true to it. And I think the polling numbers we've just seen speak to that. I'm very proud of those, and I think that they really helped, you know, justify some of the things we've been doing. And I think the media attention has really helped shine a light on it. So I don't know. I enjoy leadership and I enjoy being at the front, but I think I would be ready to stay in the background for a little while longer.
Christopher, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today, and I'm sure we'll be hearing from you and about you in the future.
I'm a big fan of all your stuff, Joseph, so we really do appreciate you having us on the show today.
Thanks very much. Christopher Bennett is the leader of the BC Green Party. I'm Joseph Plunta.